The entrepreneurs that go beyond, you know, starting something up and actually take it to the next level and grow it are really focused more on mastery than any kind of short-term gain or short-term tactics. And strategy is what leads to unique mastery. It just does. Then consistency, of course. There is nothing consistent about the tactic du jour. Welcome to Seven Figure Small, the podcast that adds to your playbook of strategies and tactics to attract an audience and build your business, all without investors or employees. I'm your host, serial digital entrepreneur Brian Clark. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
All right, Brian, so I don't know if you saw this, but the headlines I came across today, apparently they found all this cocaine floating out in the ocean. Just all these like perfectly wrapped, you know, in plastic things of cocaine like you see in the movies. And it's just floating out there in the ocean. I don't know if a ship crashed or a plane crashed. I don't know exactly what all the details were, but I just saw that it was all just out there floating in the middle of the ocean. And you know, I'm curious if you have any reaction to that story, which was trending on Twitter earlier today.
Yes, and note what was trending: cocaine shark, right? Yeah. So the real question is this real cocaine or is this fake cocaine that is an elaborate marketing stunt for the sequel to Cocaine Bear, which is of course Cocaine Shark. Never know. This was off the coast of Italy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Could go either way. You think about it, it wouldn't cost that much to just wrap up some stuff that looks like cocaine, put it out there, have this video to go viral, and now you've totally planted the seed for, as you said, the sequel to Cocaine Bear, which I did not watch.
I'm shocked, Jared, with all your free time that you did not leave your children or maybe just bring them along to go see Cocaine Bear.
I mean, we do a movie night on Friday night, but surprisingly, that one has not come up yet with my 7-year-old daughter, 6-year-old daughter. Yeah, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be the worst marketing tactic in the world, you know, given what Cocaine Bear has apparently done at the box office.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, there's nothing that happens in real life that's surprising anymore, right? No. Like, real life has ruined fiction for everyone.
Mm-hmm. It really has. All right, so let's dive into our topic for this week, Brian, which obviously flows from what we were talking about last week. And, you know, I'm curious to get your thoughts. In terms of the biggest reasons why businesses will fail to grow, or even if they just fail altogether, and I'm guessing that you're going to say a lack of strategy, but let's make it official. What are the main reasons why that happens?
I think it is a lack of strategy for a shockingly large amount of people who are going into digital business or otherwise. Again, especially those using content marketing. And then just kind of generating content, but not having any real understanding of what they're doing, who they're talking to, why they're doing it, all of that. But it's more than that, I think. And it's, in my experience and observation, an overemphasis on tactics. Like, you see all these courses out there, and they're all tactical. Like, how to use Facebook ads with webinars to do this, or you know, what have you. And there's always a new flavor of the month that people will chase after because a new tactic, you know, I mean, people see it as the thing that's going to change their business, but at most it's going to lead to some short-term cash. And at worst, it's just going to lead to a huge distraction because you don't have a strategy to implement at the tactical level in the first place. You're just throwing tactics against the wall, and they may or may not be sticking, but they're not going to last, especially when you're chasing after the tactic du jour, you know, like some guru promises you the rock solid way to get more audience, more subscribers, more money. And it maybe it works, but when everyone's doing it, of course, it stops working pretty quickly. You know, I think the time cycle that we now see where things go through and go from being the hot new thing to not working anymore has even become quicker. But the key here is the right strategy elevates you to an entirely new level of sustainable revenue. And that's what a real business aims to do, right? If you've got a side hustle or something and you're just churning tactics, okay, you're not really taking your business that seriously. If you have a side hustle that you're trying to grow into a full-time real business, then you need to be just like everyone else who has that kind of business, which is focus on the right strategy.
What do you think is going on psychologically or emotionally or mentally when people do this? Because I think most people would say, oh yeah, you know, you got to have a strategy. But yet people kind of gravitate toward tactics. Is that because people want to see an immediate result from their, you know, from their actions, and strategy is kind of more of a long-term thing? Is it because people don't want to sit down and do the hard work of really thinking through strategically, or that most people don't understand that this is the order of operations that things should go in?
That's a great question, and I'm puzzled by it, because even when I was a complete newbie, to a certain degree, I guess I understood that you have to have a strategy in order to accomplish anything. A strategy is just a plan to reach an objective. So the fact that everyone doesn't start with strategy first is kind of puzzling to me, but it's clearly happening all the time. And I think maybe it's a function of the way people are exposed, specifically, I think, to digital or online business, where they'll hear something about email marketing, or they'll hear something about Facebook ads, or they'll hear, you know, it's all very tactical level, because these are the type of articles and YouTube videos and what have you that catch attention, right? And then you have people who create courses based on the popularity of this content marketing, based on tactical approaches, and people will buy that course because there's a very specific promise. If you use Facebook ads to promote webinars like this, then you make the cash register ring like it did for me, and they've got all their proof and screenshots and what have you. Not understanding that odds are that guru is teaching you this tactic because it stopped working for them already, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother gray area of unethical behavior. But it's just logical that if you're teaching at a tactical level, why would you share that tactic with others if it's literally printing you money, right? So there's something about the tactical level of online education for digital marketing that doesn't pass the smell test right away, but the promise of if you do this, this, and this, you have money is very alluring to people. While, you know, we've always been focused on the strategic level. So we're like, yeah, I'm going to teach you this entire approach, and you're going to have to actually do work to implement it. And people are like, no, I think I'll go over here to this guy because he just said all I have to do is his Facebook ad and this webinar thing. Right? I mean, that's short-sighted, but it's human nature at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, so you've kind of laid out how this typically works, right? People discover some tactic, you know, that works, that some guru claims works. Everyone starts doing it, causes it to stop working. What else is wrong with a tactical approach compared to focusing on strategy first?
Well, I think at the very fundamental level, a strategy dictates tactics, not the other way around. When you understand that, you'll know right away whether chasing the tactic du jour, as we might call it, you know, the latest craze, is even worth it. If it's even a good fit for you know, the type of business that you have, the type of prospect and customer that you want, the journey you have to take those people on. I mean, if you understand that at a fundamental level, then a lot of things that are working tactically for other people in other businesses are just not appropriate for your business. But if you don't know that, if you don't have that level of strategic knowledge and really a documented strategy that guides you when you're tempted to go out and try something new, then you're really kind of lost. And I think that's why people struggle. They get lost in, especially when people are just starting out. People think, well, all I need is a topic and then I create content and that's my strategy. And of course, that is only the tip of the iceberg. Now, for established businesses, they probably did have some strategy they executed on. They made it to a successful product or service, which is huge. I mean, you can't really market around a lack of product market fit, right? If you're not selling something that people want, you have a bigger problem. But at some point, you've got a successful product or service, it's selling, you're kind of plateau. It's at that point that a strategic makeover will, again, what I said was, raise you to a whole new sustainable level of revenue, which is the goal. Instead, people are like, well, we got to shake things up. And then they start doing the tactic du jour thing without realizing that explore who are we really talking to, who are we really resonating with, and double down on that with a new focus, a new messaging, and all of that. That is probably the quicker way, honestly, to get to that next level. And it opens up a whole new slew of tactics that you can use, which may or may not be what everyone else is doing. A lot of times, it's not. Like we talked about last time, you never want to copy someone else's positioning. You don't want to copy anything that your competitors are doing. And even when people do that, sometimes they end up then chasing tactics and doing the same thing tactically that everyone else is doing. Now, let me say here, if you are truly uniquely positioned, you've got a winning difference, you will stand out even though you're doing the same tactic as everyone else. But again, is it really appropriate? And again, we cannot forget this point. Any tactic that everyone is doing is going to stop working. So why not zig the other direction before that happens, right? I hate when I wake up one day and something stops working because it was always a temporary tactic.
Mm-hmm. All right. So as we start thinking about this idea of, you know, coming up with a strategy that's going to work, what are the components of a digital marketing strategy specifically that is going to get results?
Well, we like to talk about these things with specific terminology, but it covers really the fundamentals of why, who, what, and how. We think in terms of a mission when we talk about the why. And we know from research and multitudes of advice that the why, start with why, is Simon Sinek's entire career making proposition. Mm-hmm. You know, this all ties into, you know, yes, what is the topic of interest and what's the problem that you're going to solve? Okay, these again are fundamental to selling something that people want. But there's also the you component, right? Whether we're talking about the founder or we're talking about the company values that are at play here, there's an intersection between the problem and purpose. In other words, what about you is the reason why you decided to help people with this problem? That matters a huge amount when differentiating yourself and succeeding with resonating with people with your messages, right? if you're not thinking along those lines, you know, so often, and again, we get back to these courses that teach people, you know, what niche or industry should I go into? And it's all about, well, these topics make money. And that's it, right? That's the end of the analysis. Now, that's a necessary part of the analysis. You know, we have a 3P system we like to talk about, and profit is first. It's profit, purpose, and problem. But again, just purely profit is not going to keep you going during the rough period. But the real reason here, beyond motivational aspects, is why are people going to care to pick you over someone else who addresses the same problem? Well, the reason you do it, the purpose behind it, is a big deal. So we like to think of that in terms of a mission. So we always say, we recently started saying movements and missions beat marketing and niches, right? So it's not just picking a money-making topic. That's just table stakes. Why are you uniquely qualified to solve this problem? What about your story intersects? What about your values intersects with the reason why people want to solve this problem? So that's number one. You can call that why. We call it the mission. Next up, most important of all, I would say, is who. Who are the people that you're trying to reach? We call this tribe. That's a word that's been in use for quite a while now, but I think it seems to fit even more these days. And, you know, again, this is not just some basic demographic information about a group of people. This is like, who are they really? What are their values? What are their worldviews, their attitudes, their lifestyle? Everything that you could possibly glean about these people in order to fully understand them. And that's how you develop. Everything flows out of the reason why you do it and the people you're doing it for. And that's how you figure out what you need to talk about and how you need to talk about it, right? So the next level of what we call the journey for the buyer's journey, which is this is the literal information that you need to share with your ideal prospects in order to take them from not knowing you to knowing, liking, and trusting you to making a purchase, right? And then finally, there's how, which we call the story. And the story is like the essence of copywriting, right? David Ogilvy once said, what you say is more important than how you say it. But after that, how you say it makes all the difference. That's the essence of it. There's another great, I think Mark Twain said, the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. Or mm-hmm. I think it was the other word, lightning bug and lightning.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
Yes.
Anyway, again, a lot of people confuse how with their entire strategy. There are a lot of people who are very focused on their particular writing style, their voice, their personality coming through. And when you really think about that, Jared, that is really egocentric marketing because it's all about you and how you want to be. And how dare people not find me charming and humorous and you know, buy my stuff. That's a voice is incredibly important, but it's actually the last step in the strategy because the audience dictates the how, not you. Again, and this is a nice intersection between the why with your purpose, with your personality, the unique attributes of you. Yes, there has to be synchronicity between the two, and that's what you're trying to find and intentionally attract that type of audience. But you just don't come out saying, I'm witty and charming and you should do business with me. I mean, if that works, great, but that's luck. That's not strategy.
Yeah. You know, and it's so interesting. I mean, when you talk about the who and how important that is, I think one of the biggest misconceptions I have found is I think people immediately assume who and they start thinking in terms of demographics. And it's not about that. It's about the psychographics and the worldviews. And you have to understand that stuff before you understand how you can actually talk to people and the way that you should be talking to them. And you see a lot of mistakes made there because I think people don't truly understand how to define or organize, you know, who their who is.
Yeah, demographics are basically the most surface level aspect of who imaginable. You know, we've got a new project going on when we're talking about marketing to older adults, right? And it's really a wide open market, not just because of all the money that older consumers have and the fact that our population is aging and birth rates are falling and all that. It's really the fact that marketers and advertisers are so bad at talking to older people that it's wide open. You know, you can come in with the right strategy, you know, and basically own an incredibly lucrative market, because apparently current so-called professional marketers and advertisers treat everyone over the age of 50 as one big bucket of old people, which is ridiculous when you say it out loud. And yet that's exactly what happens. So I think in most cases, most marketers are better at leaning towards the psychographic in other, you know, demographics like 18-49 or 18-25, what have you. But that's just a prime example of a mistake of saying, well, old people are all the same. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you're exactly right. Nothing about a demographic really teaches you how to speak to someone. Our great example that Ozzy Osbourne and King Charles have the exact same demographic profile, but that doesn't teach you anything about how, you know, what their values are, what their attitudes and their lifestyle. They're completely 180 degrees from one another. And of course, you would speak to each of them very differently. In fact, you would choose one over the other and not both if you wanted to have a successful strategy. So yeah, you've nailed it. You know, main thing, worldview is the all-encompassing terminology. How this person sees the world is an amalgamation of their values, their attitudes, their lifestyle, and yes, their demographic aspects like level of education, the zip code they live in, income, age, all of that. It's all one big bucket that forms how we view the world. If you can get that right, and even better, share that worldview with them authentically, then it becomes a lot easier to choose the right words and the right messages in order to get these people to go with you in pursuit of solving that problem.
How would you speak to Ozzy Osbourne, by the way?
I would slur. Okay, that's kind of bad. Poor Ozzy. He's seen better days. But the guy had a good time, okay? You know, it's not like... Okay.
He did. You know, the other thing that comes to mind when you talk about mission and why it's so important is, you know, and I think we still fight this sometimes. I know I do sometimes, you know, with people that I talk to is, you know, 10, 15 years ago on the internet, there was a lot of low-hanging fruit. And, you know, on certain topics, there may not have been a whole lot of coverage or a whole lot of websites doing stuff on those topics. And so you could jump in maybe with an affiliate website strategy where you didn't really care too much about what you were doing or the journey you're taking people on. You specifically had a profit motive and you put a site out there. And because maybe there wasn't a lot out there on that topic with SEO, where there were ways to get attention to it and find success. Those opportunities are much fewer and further between now. And so, you know, you have to have something driving you besides just, hey, I've got a quick tactic that'll work and I want to make money, because those options just aren't there. And now what really matters is, okay, I'm going into a market that has 10 other people in it. And that's good. That means it's an addressable market. You know, there's a lot of people out there, but I've got to have something different. And now the difference isn't just, hey, I've got a shiny new tactic that people haven't used, because it's probably been used. The difference is your mission and the purpose behind it. And people really become attracted to that. And that pulls people in. And so I think sometimes people see strategies, you know, that may have succeeded 10, 15 years ago that didn't have the mission part of it in there. And I just think you're not going to be able to succeed that way in most cases now.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And it goes in line with everything else we've been saying for the last year, which is SEO used to be easier. Social media marketing used to be easier. Content marketing in general was brand new for, you know, for the most part. There was a time when podcasting was a new thing, you know, and just starting one almost guaranteed you success. That was the same in certain cases with blogging, email newsletters, what have you. So on one hand, there's a lot more competition across the board. I would say there are a lot more sophisticated marketers out there, which would lead you to believe that there is a lot more strategic implementation. And I think that's true. But think of the company that maybe did start 10 years ago. I think about people in the WordPress space that we all played in. And that was, you know, that was a movement, a new marketplace of products that came out of an open source thing. And people succeeded. And then the competition grew and it got harder. So this is a great example of someone I might be talking about here. You've got a successful product. You got that right. But maybe you started at a time where a very straightforward approach worked, mixed with a collection of basic tactics. To take it to the next level, though, in the current environment, you need what I would call a strategic makeover to resonate harder and stronger with the right people. Those right people are probably within your existing customer base, and yet you may be too busy running the business to take the time to really look at that and say, you know, if we change the way we talk to people, we'd attract more of these types who are our best customers, and we can stop talking to these other people who never buy from us and or are a complete pain in the ass. I mean, it happens with every business, right? You want more of the great customers and less of the ones who don't buy or the ones who actually lose you money in customer support, in general hassle, or what have you.
You know, it's interesting. There's this through line in this discussion that we've been having today about how important humility is in being successful, right? You talked about the egocentric marketing people sometimes want to do, where, you know, they want to talk like they want to talk and have people resonate with them instead of thinking, okay, but how does my audience need me to talk? And same thing here. You know, I think it can be difficult for someone who has achieved a certain level of success doing it one way, just to recognize, number one, hey, this isn't working. And then to realize, number two, I may need this strategic makeover. You know, I may need some, you know, someone else to look at this and tell me what direction to go in. You know, and I've always found, even among the most confident people, and sometimes they may even come across as arrogant, they still have this element of humility in the way that they do business to be able to navigate some of those changes. Because if you don't, you're just going to get stuck doing what you've always done, but the results won't continue to be there.
Yeah, I think absolutely. You know, we went on a run with Copyblogger, I think in large part because we started with the strategic voice of a movement, you know, both in content marketing and with WordPress. And again, I've credited a lot of my success to picking those type of things because I'm naturally just a purpose-driven person and I can't really get excited about stuff otherwise. But yet we still, you know, turned to outside consultants, when we needed it, made some really big decisions based on the advice of those very smart people. So yeah, I think it's very easy, especially when you're riding high, to be confident, and that can be fine. Tripping over into arrogance is always the downfall, right? And I think, again, a company that's really in it for the long haul and is looking to take it to the next level is looking for the answer. I don't think they care whether they came up with it or they got it from someone else. The cool thing is if you're working with a consultant or a coach who's not concerned with their own ego, they'll let you take all the credit. I don't care. You don't got to thank me.
All right, Brian. So let's wrap this up. Any closing thoughts here on, on this topic today and why strategy is so important for growth?
I think the entrepreneurs that go beyond, starting something up and actually take it to the next level and grow it are really focused more on mastery than any kind of short-term gain or short-term tactics. And strategy is what leads to unique mastery. It just does. Then consistency, of course. There is nothing consistent about the tactic du jour, right? You're skipping around, you're jumping around here and there, trying really just to make short-term cash. You're almost like on that corporate quarterly profit foundation, which is really the ruin or the antithesis of a great company, is that short-term thinking. So anytime you catch yourself thinking, look at what so-and-so is doing tactically, just stop yourself for a second and proceed carefully and say, does this comport with our long-term strategy? Is this going to elevate us to the next level of sustainable revenue? Now, I'm not saying don't experiment, but there's a very different thing between trying something and hoping you found the Holy Grail. Most often you have not, unless it is tied into a strategic long-term vision. So we're all inspired by others to some degree. There's nothing new under the sun. Don't think that I'm telling you you have to be completely original, but you can always be unique by allowing your documented strategy to dictate how you implement ideas. And guess what? The best place to look for ideas is not among your competitors or digital marketing gurus. It's generally some other industry, something you might learn about randomly in a book or a television show or what have you, the intersection of ideas where you're able to use your own skills for pattern recognition to say, hey, that is not my situation, but it's analogous, and that is a strategy or a tactic that works with our strategy that's going to actually have a chance of getting us to the next level.
Absolutely. Very well said. And look, here, Brian, you and I have worked with a lot of people. We've seen this gap in strategic thinking and how much it can help people. A strategic tweak here and there can make all the difference, and that's one of the reasons why we launched Movement Consulting. Which if you're listening to this, you can learn more about at movement.consulting. That's what we want to help people do, so that people can be mission driven and find the people that they're really passionate about helping in a way that is really going to have meaning.
Yeah. And this week I will make sure that the links to Movement Consulting come out in the email. I got emails last week. They're like, man, that was quite a tease. You said, click here. For Movement Consulting, there was no link, man. This is some next level stuff. I'm like, no, ConvertKit just didn't put the link in. That is not a crafty tactic, I'm afraid.
Wait a minute, but Brian Clark is doing it. Maybe this is what we should do.
Brian I'm Clark leaving the is links saying, out of my email with no link. That's the tactic du jour. Let's do it.
That's what your final act should be, the anti-guru, and you just give people all these advice and tactics that you wouldn't actually
do. As soon as I finish up filming, as soon as I finish production on Cocaine Shark, that's my next thing.
And I guess that's the question. Should it be Cocaine Shark or like Cocaine Octopus or Cocaine Dolphin? I'd kind of like to see one of the more cerebrally inclined marine animals.
Now I know you've been reading Twitter because someone said that exact same thing.
Did they really?
But yeah. They said Cocaine Dolphin, man. They're a lot smarter. You can talk to them.
All right. That's a great note to end on. We will talk to you all next week.
Take care.